Coming up next on A Daily Walk.
When you look around the rest of the world, you realize that globalism is something that the majority of the world would like. But the continued failures of the United Nations, the global uprising of terrorism, economic instability in so many countries, it's all pushing us toward a radical change. It's as if the scaffolding is being put in place for a one world government, a one world currency, a one world religion of coexistence, a move toward globalism in all that it means.
You've picked a great day to join us as we take a look at God's calendar for the nation of Israel here on A Daily Walk. In Daniel 9, we read of the 70 weeks of Daniel. Each week is a 7-year period, and 69 have already happened. That leaves 1 7-year period remaining. And today, Pastor John Rendell will share what is going to take place. He'll break things down into 4 helpful points, and the first we dealt with last time, which is the first coming of Jesus. We'll pick things up now with the crucifixion of Jesus at verse 26.
Daniel is told of the first coming of Jesus, but then in this prophecy, it is also revealed to Daniel, number 2, the crucifixion of Jesus. In verse 26, after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. The word cut off here means executed. At the beginning of the week, when Jesus revealed himself as Messiah the Prince, the people were shouting, Hosanna! Save now, you're the Messiah. But by the end of the week, some of the same people were screaming out, crucify him. Crucify him. We will not have this man to rule over us. Let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And Jesus was then cut off. He was crucified, even as it was revealed. He was revealed as Messiah the Prince, and then he was cut off in his crucifixion. Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die for those 6 things that Daniel mentions in verse 24 to come to pass. If Jesus didn't die, then there is no finish the transgression. There's no end of sins. There's no reconciliation for iniquity. There's no everlasting righteousness. None of that is even possible if Messiah the Prince is not cut off. So he had to be cut off. And here Daniel foretells he's going to be revealed and then he's going to be crucified. He's cut off, put to death. Peter would write in Acts chapter 3, when he was reproving the people and the religious leaders, he said, brethren, I know that you did it, that is, crucified Jesus in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But listen, those things which God foretold by the mouth of all of his prophets that Christ would suffer has been fulfilled. Peter looks back in his sermon to what the prophets had said, prophets like Daniel, that he would be cut off. And he said, it's been fulfilled. It's come to pass. But this prophecy goes on then to predict in verse 26, and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end of it shall be with the flood to the end of the war of desolations are determined. We move now from not just the first coming of Jesus and then the crucifixion of Jesus, but what we're going to see in a moment is that there is a counterfeit Jesus, another prince who is to come. It was in Matthew chapter 24 that Jesus talked about the temple being destroyed. He told his disciples that there was coming a day when not one stone would be left upon another. Everything, he said, would be thrown down. The Olivet Discourse. The disciples then asked Jesus, when would these things be? What would be the sign of your coming? And they asked concerning these things specifically. And so Jesus is asked by Hebrew men concerning the nation of Israel, concerning the temple, and the Olivet Discourse speaks to that point. And it was during that message that Jesus predicted the eventual destruction of the temple that took more than 80 years to complete. And the temple was finished only 7 years before it was destroyed. After Jesus said those words concerning the temple being destroyed, it was 40 years later that the Romans took Jerusalem under the leadership of Titus Vespasian. And it was said that all of Jerusalem was brought to the ground. The Jews of the city fled, and they fled into the temple. It was their most secure building that they had. And they thought to themselves, surely no one would destroy one of the wonders of the world. So they went into the temple. However, history tells us that one of the soldiers started a fire that engulfed the entire building, and all of the ornate gold that encased the temple began to melt. And as it melted, it came in between the cracks of the stones that were put together. And as it solidified, in order to get to the gold, they began to pull down one stone after another, so that not one stone was left on top of one another until it was all pulled down, just as Jesus had prophesied. The destruction was so complete that today it's difficult to learn exactly where the temple was. The prophetic words of Jesus were fulfilled. Not one stone was left upon another. And after that, the Jews were dispersed. I mean, they were dispersed in all different places of the world. A nation just completely in every direction of the world. And then in 1948, miraculously, just as was prophesied in the Bible, never happened before, a nation that was dispersed came back together, the nation of Israel. If you don't believe in biblical prophecy, you just need to study the history of the nation of Israel. And you'll come to realize the significance of biblical prophecy as revealed in this nation. The Jews came back together. And as we look at this prophecy, it's important to understand concerning their coming back together and this 70 weeks of Daniel. Listen, 69 of the 7 year periods have already come to pass. 69 of the 7 year periods that Daniel had spoken of have already been fulfilled, which leaves one final 7 year period, the 70th week of Daniel. And many scholars believe, and I would, although not a scholar, I would tend to agree with them, that we are between the 69th and the 70th week of Daniel. It's as if there's been this pause, this interim that we're in right now. And the clearest indication of that is because the events that we're going to see in verse 27 have not come to pass yet. We're just in this holding pattern. I think it's the age of the church where people are able to get saved and come to know Christ. 69 of the 7 year periods have passed. There's one final one, and we're waiting for it to happen. There remains one final 7 year period for the history of the world and God's ultimate plan for his chosen people, the Jews. And that final 7 year period, that 70th week of Daniel, is called the tribulation period. Jeremiah referred to it in Jeremiah chapter 30. He said, that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. It is during this tribulation period, during this particular time in the history of the world, that there will arise a counterfeit Jesus. This is the third point, a counterfeit Jesus. Look at verse 27 concerning this prince that is to come. It says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Let me have your attention. How long is 1 week? 7 years. Very good. He will confirm a covenant for 1 week. But in the middle of that week, that is 3.5 years into that covenant, that agreement that he makes, he shall bring an end to the sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abominations shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Following the rapture of the church. And if you don't know what the rapture of the church is, it is where we are caught up to be with the Lord. And here at Calvary Chapel, we believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. Because we don't believe that the Lord has appointed us unto wrath, but he's actually saved us from the wrath to come. We don't believe we're going up in the middle. We don't believe that we're going to go up in the end. We believe we're going up before it happens, before the seven-year period begins, before the tribulation period is poured out, that the Lord will, the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the clouds, and thus we shall forever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us we're waiting for that. But after that happens, after the church is taken, after the preserving influence of the church of Jesus Christ, which is salt and light, the work of the Holy Spirit through the church is then removed, and now the work of the Holy Spirit focuses primarily upon the nation of Israel. But when that happens, when millions of people vanish, are gone, the world goes into absolute chaos, mayhem. It's frightening to think of. But in the midst of it, there will emerge this prince who is to come. He will surface. He will have answers for the world, and he will have an explanation for the disappearance of believers. He's going to be working. Satan is actually working through him. He's going to be the devil incarnate. Jesus was God incarnate. The Antichrist is going to be the devil incarnate. And he'll have an answer for what's happened. Daniel chapter 7 verse 8 calls him the little horn. In Daniel chapter 8, he's called the king of fierce countenance. Daniel 9, he's called the prince that is to come. In Daniel 11, he's called the willful king, the one who comes in his own name, Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 43. The son of perdition, Paul calls him. The lawless one, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Revelation 13 simply calls him the beast. That's what he's going to be from heaven's perspective. And the Bible says that he will be given his power from the devil himself. Paul said it this way, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. He said, the coming of the lawless one, this Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. This counterfeit Christ will be given complete authority by the rest of all of the nations, and the world will follow him. He will solve the crisis in the Middle East. And when it says that he makes a covenant with some, it speaks of an agreement that he will make with the nation of Israel. A seven-year pact, the 70th week of Daniel. He'll make that agreement, rebuild their temple. But in the middle of that agreement, 3.5 years in, he will break the agreement. The great tribulation begins, and the Antichrist begins to seek to destroy once and for all the nation of Israel. But along with this covenant that he makes, he will rebuild their temple. There will be once again a sacrificial system. Even in Israel today, there are those that are longing for this temple to be rebuilt. Just this last time we were in Israel, as we went into the Temple Institute there on our last trip, it was amazing to go through the tour once again. And I heard something this tour, and I've been several times, but this time I heard something I hadn't heard before. Our tour guide there told us that we don't even need the whole temple up to begin to worship on that mountain. In fact, we could disassemble, and they have an altar there that they're going to use. We could disassemble this, take it across down the hill and up Temple Mount, set it right there in its place. It'd probably take us 30 minutes and we could start worshiping right now. And then we could build the temple after that. They're longing for it. They think that it's going to bring peace to the world. I mean, you sit there and they're saying, we're longing for the temple. And you have your Bible and you know it's going to be built. But in the middle of that peace agreement, 3.5 years into it, Daniel says in the middle of the week, the Antichrist will go into the rebuilt temple and he'll demand to be worshiped as God. It's referred to as the abomination that brings about desolation. And this abomination that brings about desolation, as Daniel pointed to, Jesus also validated. There are those that say, well, I don't believe that Daniel actually wrote the book of Daniel. Well, Jesus did. And that's enough for me. Jesus said it this way, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, That's the words of Jesus. Standing in the holy place, whoever reads this, let him understand. Those who are in Judea, flee to the mountains. For there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Matthew chapter 24. When this abomination of desolation takes place, when this covenant is broken, it begins the 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation period. I realize, perhaps for some of you tonight, this seems strange to hear. Yet when you look around the rest of the world, you realize that globalism is something that the majority of the world would like. But the continued failures of the United Nations, the global uprising of terrorism, economic instability in so many countries, it's all pushing us toward a radical change. It's as if the scaffolding is being put in place for a one world government, a one world currency, a one world religion of coexistence, a move toward globalism in all that it means. This is what the world is clamoring for. Interesting, I remember reading a book not that long ago, and one man said that there's one thing that stands in the way of globalism. It's people that believe in absolutes. I wonder who believes in absolutes. Who stands in the way? The Church of Jesus Christ. But when the Church of Jesus Christ is removed, nothing's standing in the way. And this will take place. A man by the name of Mark Hitchcock commented in his book in 2012, he said, for the first time in history since Genesis 11 and the Tower of Babel, globalization is within man's and Satan's reach. It is most significant that in the 21st century, not only does a need for world government exist, but the technology for establishing such a government is now in our hands. I remember as a younger pastor reading a quote by the former Belgian Prime Minister, Paul-Henri Spaak, in 1957, which I think it probably carries some of the sentiments of the world even now. He said this, quote, "We do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morose to which we are sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him." My friend, you don't need to fear nor be looking for the Antichrist. You need to be looking for Jesus Christ, because he's on the way. I believe that before this final 7-year period of world history, that the trumpet will sound and the church will be called home to be with her bridegroom, with her Savior. And what a glorious day that's going to be. Amen. We've seen the first coming of Jesus, that Daniel was revealed to him. The crucifixion of Jesus as he was cut off. A counterfeit Jesus who comes as a prince to the world, and the world receives him. He sets up a covenant and then he breaks it. But then also, in closing, we want to consider the coming kingdom of Jesus. For it says in verse 27, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Folks, we know from the Bible that there will be a consummation of all things. There will be an end. In fact, when we get to Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, Daniel is told, and from that time, that the daily sacrifice is taken away. In fact, turn there. Oh, it's a preview of coming attractions. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, look what it says. And from that time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Daniel was told that when that abomination which brings about desolation takes place in the middle of the 3.5 year period, that there is, as he said, another 3.5 years remaining. 1,290 days or 3.5 years left. And at the end of that time, the king will be here. He comes at the end and he establishes his kingdom. The Bible says he comes on a white horse. Revelation 19 tells us he comes and he has a sharp sword proceeds out of his mouth and he comes to conquer the nations. And he comes as the Antichrist and the false prophet all gathered together there in the valley of Jezreel, there in Israel. It is the most serene, beautiful place when you see it. And you think, to imagine that blood would rise to the horse's bridle in this environment, it's overwhelming to see it and realize this is the spot where it's all going to go down. This is the spot where the final battle will be fought. It's really no battle because Jesus speaks a word and that's the end of the battle. But the second coming of Christ is a climactic moment in the redemptive history of mankind. It will be the culmination of all the hopes of God's people through the ages. For centuries, God's people have anticipated and predicted prophetically this event known as the second coming. Again, different from the rapture. This is when Christ comes back to the earth. The rapture is where we're caught up to meet him in the air. Two separate and distinct events from one another. But in the second coming, when he comes back and he faces off with the Antichrist and all the armies, all the nations that have been put together, it's the day that he establishes his kingdom. The second coming of Christ is dealt with 1,845 times in the Bible. Someone estimated that one out of every 30 verses deals with it or mentions it. 7 out of 10 chapters in the New Testament talk about it. The second coming is mentioned 8 times to every mention of the first coming. Jesus himself mentions his second coming 21 times. You get the idea. This is important. It's the culmination of all things. And there are countless exhortations given to watch, pray, prepare. Zechariah even tells us the location. Zechariah tells us in chapter 14 of Zechariah, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move to the north and half of it to the south. Again, it's fascinating when you actually stand on the Mount of Olives and you're looking to the east gate where it's located and you realize this thing's going to split in two. It's the place that he left from. He left and ascended from the Mount of Olives. And you remember the angels told the disciples that were looking up, why do you stand here looking up? He's coming back the same way that he left. And Zechariah tells us he's going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives. When he does, he's going to split in two. He's going to make his way through the east gate and he's going to establish his kingdom. He's going to sit upon the throne of David and reign forever, forever.
Today on A Daily Walk, we heard just a portion of Pastor John Randall's study of Daniel. Catch a replay at adailywalk.org. You can also sign up for our free podcast at adailywalk.org or download our church app when you search for CCSJC. We also offer CD copies for a cost of $5. Here's our toll-free number, 877-242-0828. Again, that's 877-242-0828. Today, we picked out a book that really ties in nicely to our present series. Like Daniel, we're living in an unfriendly and even hostile environment to Christianity. Maybe recently it feels as though you're living among lions. Well, that's the title of the book we want to send you, Living Among Lions, by David and Jason Benham. As a slave living in exile, Daniel became one of the most powerful men in the world at that time. His conviction, commitment, and courage stand out to us and really serve to help him thrive in Babylon. Living Among Lions will help you do the same in today's Babylon. Order it online for a cost of $15 at adailywalk.org or call us at 877-242-0828. If you believe in what we're doing here at A Daily Walk and sense God is leading you to support the work, we've tried to make it easy to donate online at adailywalk.org. You can also write to A Daily Walk, 31612 El Camino Real, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92675, or call us toll-free, 877-242-0828. Stay connected with Pastor John through social media. Look for Pastor John on Twitter at PJRandall7 and on Instagram at John P. Randall. And then join us for our next study in the book of Daniel with Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk. This is a presentation of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.